CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Classification, overclassification. Right now in the news constantly is evidence that secrets were released on Discord to the world by an airman in Massachusetts. That points to the story of how did we get here? How do we not know how many documents are out there? Because that is the report. Many, many more than have been reported so far, they're still counting. Meaning classification itself is now a vulnerability to the defense of the United States. I welcome Henry Sokolsky of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, who is the editor of a paper recently released by the NPEC entitled Overclassification, How Bad Is It? What's the Fix? This is from before the Teixeira incident, before the Discord incident, but it speaks to all these matters. We go in specific to the Space Force. Now, let's not speak in general of national security and acronyms. Let's go to something that has hardware and software in action. The Space Force has been asked by Congress to answer whether it could declassify more of its programs. In conversation in these last days between a member of the House of Representatives and the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Space Policy, John Plum, we learned that the Space Force has not answered the Congress's intention. Mr. Plum says, on the Space Force capabilities and classification, we might better save that for the classified session. We are working hard on it, and I'm working with your team on this. As you know, there is a Secretary of the Air Force reform effort, and I've been loath to get ahead of that. Henry, I think what I'm reading here is we can tell you more about why we're not declassifying more programs, but we have to tell you in a classified way because it's a secret why we're not doing more. Good evening to you, Henry.
Good evening. I'm reminded of the popular phrase during the Reagan years, I want some of my money back.
The Air Force is not unique, but we're focusing on it because of these testimonies in this last day. Your paper, published before the airman incident blew up and continues, it's ongoing. Your paper identified a number of ways where there's overclassification, and you have a section, August 10th, 2020, Working Group Series Meeting 4, called Space Secrecy. What I learned from you is that from your colleagues who you gathered together, there are three harmful effects of the current system for the Space Force. The first is multi-layered security compartmentation, meaning they've got duplications all over the place. We've run into this before, Henry. The classification urge is so strong. They're classifying the same thing again and again, but they don't talk to each other, so they don't know this. The Air Force is not unique in this, if I read your paper correctly. Is that correct?
Yeah, this was spotlighted by the former Deputy Secretary of Defense, Wark, in an op-ed where he talked about, you know, the insane siloing of special access space programs where you have people working on systems that are frighteningly similar, he claimed, and not knowing it. And, you know, these are not inexpensive efforts. They take many years. We're talking about billions of dollars. And it doesn't get better when you get to the oversight efforts of the Hill, because if there's special access, the members are briefed frequently, at least in the past, without enough staff present because they weren't cleared. And they are, you know, told what these folks want them to hear. They do not really have the ability to check as much. And that's the reason why Congress, to its credit, said, okay, let's start talking about loosening this so that we're not talking about declassifying, but lowering the classification so we can do some darn oversight.
Space Force is a new part of the DOD. It's not Air Force, it's not Army, it's not Navy. Theoretically, it's smaller than the other three organizations. And so the fact that we're approaching overclassification in the smallest of the DOD's segments is helpful. In other words, the scale doesn't overwhelm. So we go to the second observation of harmful effect. I read, the space programmers brief their combatant commander and are then told They cannot talk to anyone else about the program lest they face prosecution. Let me translate that, Henry. Meaning you have a staff member or a group of staff members who brief their combatant commander. They tell the general what's going on. The general then reminds them they can't talk to any of their colleagues. So therefore, we've created a situation where the people doing all the work don't have all the information. They've almost made staff members of the Space Force into the public. We can't tell them because they wouldn't understand.
Well, I think in the name of protecting the secret, they lost the plot because the commanders have to plan to defend against these threats. And that requires not releasing it to the public, but at least being able to get the information to the war planning staff underneath them so that they can get their act together. When that doesn't happen, you're really self-defeating yourself. And I think that's what, you know, that section of the report is spotlighting. Also, when you keep this information that tight, you have a very difficult time when you do figure out how to defend against it, talking about that in a way that the other side is deterred or has to do something different that is, you know, ties them down. You're not able to really play the competition to your advantage with that much secrecy.
The third point, I love this one. Argue that despite Russia and China deployed space-based systems that threaten forward-deployed American Joint Task Force at sea, in the air, and on the ground, these threats are so highly classified that the deploying forces are unaware of them. Henry, I'm going to translate this as best I can. The Space Force knows that the Russians and the Chinese are practicing weapon systems or protocols that can be used in the event of a conflict on the sea, in the air, in orbit. However, because these classification systems are so airtight, we don't tell the people who are most at risk what the Russians and the Chinese have. Let me translate that one more. The surveillance balloon discovered over Montana, to my understanding, accidentally by civilians, that turned into a long and lengthy explanation from the DOD, the intelligence services, the White House, that it might be off course, despite the fact that it lingered over strategic sites in Montana, in other states, before it was shot down by an F-22, to my memory, off of the Carolinas. Weeks later, we learned that this was not the first of the surveillance balloons that the intelligence community and the DOD knew about. They've been watching this for some time. It's a total puzzle whether that program was known to the people at risk in the Pacific or in Alaska or in Montana. We don't know if they were, but your observation here suggests they might be. Have I summarized that all correctly? The people at risk don't know what the enemy has.
Well, about when I got into space issues seriously, I managed to get the head of the Space Force at the time, General Raymond, to come to an event. And I managed to get the head of the French Space Command and an awful lot of pretty important people, including some deputy assistant secretaries for space and all that. And we had a wonderful meal in the University Club, I believe. And he gave a speech and could not refer to a current event, which was that our Keyhole or KH low Earth orbit, high resolution spy satellite had been trailed by Russian potentially ASAT capable systems. He could not actually say the words KH-11 because that was classified. Now, to give you some perspective, that if you look on Google under Keyhole 11 or KH-11, you'll find news stories going back easily, 20 years talking about that. what do you suppose the impression was of people when I actually pointed that out? I didn't mean to embarrass them, but to highlight the problem. I said, what's disturbing is you can't actually say KH-11 in front of people who know all this. It makes us look like idiots. And it doesn't build trust with our armed allies. And clearly it can be a problem even within our own command system.
You've got an excellent paper. It's very focused. And this detail about the Space Force anticipates the article that I pointed to. Mr. Plum saying, I can tell you about it, but it's classified. So we can't talk about it here, despite the fact that you're asking me to declassify duplicated issues. Let me summarize correctly what I've learned. They duplicate and they don't know it, so they leave everything classified, a paper storm. And then in briefings to combatant commanders, they're warned not to share it with the other staff members who they depend upon to plan for the future of conflict. And then thirdly, the people most at risk, say in the Indo-Pacific, are not told of programs that we know the Russians and the Chinese are developing, anticipating warfare. Is that the summary correct? Does that measure correctly your paper, Henry?
Yes, but one addition that we did talk about. Oversight is hobbled because it can't even get a classified briefing because it's so classified, only the member and now in some cases a staff assistant can get a brief, but it's a one-way brief. And more often than not, the staff member's not allowed. And so the member gets it, doesn't know what to do with it, and is told pretty clearly, don't repeat any of this. So there goes oversight. And I think Congress, as I said before, and what prompted that article that you quoted, has had enough. It wants to change this, and it's to their credit that they do.
Henry Sikorsky is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. His paper with his colleagues entitled Overclassification, How Bad Is It? What's the Fix? Is available at Henry's site. We have to turn to another story that we've watched for months and months and months since the beginning of the war, which is the fate of the nuclear power plants in Ukraine. It is a surprising spy versus spy story we're getting now. Do we believe it? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.